Siobhan breathed in the cool loch mist, feeling the moistness fill her lungs and seep into her soul. It was her tonic. Sitting on the low stone wall that hugged the lee side of the loch, she was surrounded by the mist. In grammar school, when she had studied St. Francis and learned how he had referred to other creatures as brother otter or sister dove, she started to think of the mist as sister mist. The loch shore was Siobhan's favorite of all her special places. It was here that the poems came to her. She felt them emerge from the mist, or rise from the surface of the water, or descend from the surrounding mountains. They nestled in her mind because she welcomed them gently, nurturing and encouraging, so that when she put pen to paper, she only had to write down what was already inside her. But today, she felt an unfamiliar longing, not the secure serenity she always associated with this place. It made her uneasy. Siobhan had always been content here, living with Uncle Keenan by the shores of her loch. Why today did she feel as if a strange new dimension had thrust its way into her life? A sense no longer of just living, but of waiting. Waiting for something or someone. Siobhan was wary of strangers. For more than 300 years, imperceptible evolution, like water on a stone, had transformed the lee side from an old coaching inn into a quiet neighborhood pub. In its early days, it sheltered travelers between Clifton and Galway and secretly harbored the occasional smuggler. But the 19th century famine and poverty in the West, followed by the advent of motorized transport, had isolated it from all but the locals, who finally claimed it as their own. So for the people who had known it all their lives, the pub was the same now as it had always been. Siobhan loved that about the lee side. It was her rock, her island. Uncle Key had annihilated them both upon it. Siobhan was, at this moment, standing behind the bar, washing the interminable glasses. She looked around as she often did, silently chanting her self-made mantra. I love living here. I can't imagine living anywhere else. I love living here. I can't imagine living anywhere else. I love living here. Each rendition was another granite pebble in her wall of isolation, another layer of protection. Siobhan knew that oddness was the cornerstone of her identity. She felt strangers smell her apprehension. People who knew her tolerated her introversion, but to many it seemed out of place in someone who worked in a pub. Siobhan tolerated contact with people she knew for the simple reason that they were unavoidable. Her interactions with friends of her uncle or regulars at the pub were mere ripples on the surface of her sea chasm of isolation. She smiled vaguely at jokes, ignored banter, and often appeared to be of subnormal intelligence with her air of detached, blank pleasantness. She caught the fleeting looks of puzzlement or pity and was unconcerned by them. Siobhan knew she was peculiar. How could it have been otherwise? She had no mother. For her, this explained everything. How could she be like the other children? She had no mother. For that matter, she had no father either, only Uncle Key. She'd lived with him since a week before her second birthday, 25 years ago. Siobhan couldn't remember that day. Uncle Key never talked about it. On her 7th birthday, her golden birthday, 7 on the 7th of April, she nerved herself to ask him the question. What she wanted as a gift this year was information. Uncle Key, why did Mamsie die? Holding hands, they were standing next to her mother's grave, which was next to her grandparents in St. Brendan's Churchyard. They visited the graves each year on Siobhan's birthday, early in the morning. Looking down at her, he gave the bare bones of an explanation as to how her mother died and why she had come to live with him. Mamsie died in an IRA bombing. And also your da. So I came to fetch you to come live here with me. He squeezed her hand and she regarded him with wide, grave eyes. Why isn't my da buried here as well?